We all have our morning routine.
These kids ain't gonna learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
No.
Who don't drink in Rocklahoma?
Your.
Who else in the level car say yay? Yeah.
Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're missing one room.
Nick's running around from one room to the next.
Well, it's not because we had him on the air.
No. He's busting his butt right now.
Busting his butt very inefficiently because I keep importing the stuff into the system, and they're like 2 seconds long.
No,
8 seconds long.
And the clips are like 2 minutes long. But you got it.
Okay, let's.
Do we have it, Nick?
Okay, let me do it. You tell me, Nick, what to put in. Okay, which one do I put in?
In the meantime, a little musical interlude for you.
You may think that's childish and silly, but you'll be humming at about 2 o'clock this afternoon.
And now this.
Yeah. This song is actually bad enough that it bothers me. All right. I have both.
Okay, you have both? Okay, let's start
Minute 30 sound about
that
right?
That sounds about right. Okay, all right. Let's start with the one he just put in. Okay, so here's how it works. Armpits of America. I will give you a true story that happened in some sort of armpit in this great nation of ours, and then I will give you a choice of 3 different states, and you just tell me which one it happened in. Are you guys ready?
Yes. Yep.
2 men wearing strange costumes broke into a man's trailer to steal his television and tried to set fire to his home by using spaghetti sauce. Did that happen in A, Florida, B, Georgia, or C, Alabama?
See, that sounds like an art project. And by the way, who steals a TV now? Right. Like, what a waste of time. TVs are like $5.
I saw this TV. Top of the line.
So yeah, I know. You know, there's still a tube one,
right? Black and white with rabbit ears.
Like, what do you want to steal? All right, let's commit a felony and then go in and take a huge thing that we have to take off. We have to pick up and take off, and that we can probably get $150 from someone. All right, I am going to say so. Alabama's with spaghetti sauce.
Yeah,
and that's got to be Florida.
I say Alabama.
Freddie T, We're going to Florida.
Yeah, the spaghetti sauce thing took it over.
All right, let's take a look.
What do you do? SpaghettiOs get hot. If you put them in the microwave, make fire.
He's got a security system in his trailer.
It's
a high-tech redneck.
Exactly. He's got a Sony disc.
Sony disc.
Did you ever have the Sony discs?
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
An ex-lover's revenge foiled thanks to this 10-second clip.
Wait, did you see anybody?
No, I can't see nobody. All I can see is the towel being put over the camera.
Deputies catching these 2 men red-handed, accused of burglarizing the victim's home and trying to burn it down.
I got an alert at 6:54. I called D-Land police and...
What's the alert? Varmints! Varmints! Oh! Boy, your feet don't fail me now. I gotta get over there. I received an alert. You know what? Why don't you take the security system, not buy it, and try to get an actual home or an apartment?
Right. A house whose door isn't made of balsa wood.
Right. I just like he's got this TV, this video camera. He loves it all. He's got it all.
They was here in no time.
The man who declined to reveal his identity was at work Tuesday morning when it happened. Deputies say ex-boyfriend 36-year-old Derek Irving disguised in a bull costume onesie.
He was wearing a bull costume onesie. What's funny is that
I was auditioning for my Mammoth play.
Mammoth's play. Dan said, well, that sounds like it'd be hard to track the sale. How many bull onesies?
Wait, I'm telling you, it was an artistic statement.
Oh.
Bull onesie. Now, how would you have a bull onesie? Like, what is the distinguishing characteristic of a bull onesie?
I need to find that and wearing that.
Because it was dark and you can't see me.
I see. Right.
They wouldn't recognize my stomach because of the udders. Or there'd be a cow, not a bull,
exactly.
Then, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is that how do you make a bull onesie?
I'll tell you what. It was brown. Oh, these pictures are great. Oh.
Deputies say ex-boyfriend 36-year-old Derek Irving disguised in a bull costume onesie and 28-year-old John Silva removed the AC unit to get inside.
I'm assuming they thought they had all kinds of time.
The duo deputies say...
But little did they know. They thought they had all... It was like a robbing a bank. All right, guys, come on, 20 seconds.
All kinds of time.
The duo deputies say stole the man's TV, AC unit, heater, and a vacuum before boiling a pot.
Well, there you go. If you want revenge, Nick, just go to someone's house and take the vacuum. Let's take everything that's heavy and cumbersome. You know, there's probably, like, you might as well empty out his change drawer.
Let's seal this mattress.
Exactly.
Take the fridge while you're at it.
You know what? I think I can get these shutters off.
He say stole the man's TV, AC unit, heater, and a vacuum before boiling a pot of spaghetti sauce and taking a white towel to the stove.
Well, he was trying to make it look like that I'd left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Dead.
How cute. He calls it biscotti.
What was that called?
Who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Does he color? Does he get in his mom and dad's bed when he can't go to sleep, when he has a bad dream?
So he can eat his spaghetti?
Spaghetti.
It's like a young Joey Lawrence on Give Me a Break.
Look at spaghetti.
I mean, the reason they didn't get out is they stepped on all my Legos. I'll tell you, I was so scared the last two nights, I had to make a little cave in the living room. A fort. Biscotti.
I'd left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Deputy stopped the two in the driveway where they found the man's items and an empty jar of spaghetti sauce.
Now that's a crime you got to crack.
They're in the driveway futilely dragging like 5,000 pounds of crap. And like how they took the can of spaghetti sauce out of the house. Leave no clue behind. We got to get rid of this spaghetti sauce.
Silva claiming he had no idea Irving was stealing from the home.
It started out as a relationship that lasted about a week.
The victim says they had a fallout, but the two remain friends and doesn't know why Irving is so angry.
Let him use my car for 4 months. Maybe he's angry about that. Or maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth. Spaghetti.
$150 to fix his teeth. Would you melt down the quarters? $150. That's gonna Skatey. Get you a lot.
Pasta.
Skatey.
Pasta.
I gave him $150 to get his teeth fixed. Oh boy. You know that's the trailer park, quote unquote dentist.
That's right. That's the dude at the Red Roof Inn.
Yeah. Do a shot of whiskey and then ignore these pliers.
Who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Well, I mean, listen.
Maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth.
Gave his wife a butt injection too. One of those illegal ones.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you, I was eating biscotti and watching Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
What?
Biscotti.
Biscotti.
Cute when I say it.
Right, it's cute.
Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors.
Maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brian Scalabrine.
The white mamba from a pro baller. So many ways he can beat you. Draining three.
Yeah, this doesn't. The dance room just didn't wait. This doesn't hold up. And I will.
See, I like this one. I like Montel Jordan's, the version of Montel Jordan. I like this.
Yeah, it was good at the time. Not feeling it right now. Not even.
I like this one. Every time it comes out, I'm like.
All right, Brian Scalabrine. Hello, sir.
You didn't like the song, huh? I thought that was like that was kind of like a staple every time I came on air.
No, it is, but and I don't have a problem playing it. It's just that it doesn't necessarily stand the test of time. Sometimes these songs, I don't know. Dan O'Brien and I were just he was talking in my ear, and I
gets the old head bobbing like Night at the Roxbury every time it comes on.
Well, the version that guy did is way better than the Montel version. Montel Jordan version, which is an awful song.
Right, just means you're in a bad wedding.
Yes. Brian Scalabrine, are we right to give the poor officiating, especially in the second quarter, credence as part of the reason the Celtics lost that game last night?
So I always say this. The NBA, the margin for winning and losing is so small. And I'm not going to sit here and blame the officials, but if one call went one way and and you kind of look at the first half and you saw all the foul trouble that the Celtics were in, which I think took away their aggressiveness and their physical nature of this series, and they've done a really good job of that. So definitely a few calls here or there, but I don't think that they played that well. And Philly and T.J. McConnell, whether it was game four or game two and three, he's been really good. So they got to figure out maybe they focused a little bit more on T.J. McConnell and less on Ben Simmons, which in general they've done a really good job against Ben.
You know, it's weird because we were looking at, just real quick back to the officiating, Tony Brothers, we were saying this morning, it's very strange because the last eight times that he's called a playoff game for the Celtics, they've lost. During the time that you played, was there ever a ref that you knew when they were on the court? It's like, well, this guy's just anti-Celtics. Like, we just never get calls when this guy's on the court.
I don't think it's like that, and I don't think it's like never, right? Because, like I said, one call that's a certain way. And once again, like I don't want to sit here and pile on the officials, but it could be a style of play thing. You know, like if a guy officiates a game a certain way, like the Celtics clearly they're. When you just look around the NBA, they probably have some of the best individual one-on-one defenders across the board, right? And you're looking at this team, it's the reason why they can, they're even in this position is because these guys are just like tenacious on the defensive end. So maybe an official calls it a little bit tighter with that, but you know, like they allow off-ball cuts and, you know, we're not big onto that, but we're big on guarding your man. So it could be one of those things, but I never thought like an official had it in for a coach or had it in for a team. But the record is kind of unique. How can it be 0-8 with Tony Brothers there?
Another little byplay during Game 4, Scal, was kind of the interplay between Joel Embiid and Marcus Morris, both of whom talk a prodigious amount of trash to begin with. But I don't understand the theory behind Embiid talking as much as he talks when his team is down 3-0. Do you understand that? And did you ever play or face a guy like that when you were playing?
You know, I don't know if he's thinking about that at the time. Oh, like right at that moment, he's thinking we're down 0-3. But, you know, if you just, you know, the thing that really was interesting was like the Philadelphia bench, like, I don't know, the rest of those guys, they didn't seem like they were in like sort of desperation mode. They were like laughing and joking. Like when you're down 0-3, you have like a certain sense of urgency. I would just say in the playoffs, you have this like certain sense of urgency. I didn't see that from the rest of those guys, but. Guys like J.J. Redick, I thought he was like that. I thought Ben Simmons had a better mindset. So the players who are in the rotation on Philly, I thought they had the right mindset. But just in general, you know, I don't know if the 76ers are ready. If you just kind of look at and specifically look at Game 3 and some of the things that they did down the stretch, they just might not be ready to take that next step that everyone sort of anointed them when they had a pretty good series against Miami.
Yeah, you were in Burlington with Tommy Heinsohn in studio. What was he saying during all those foul calls?
he was going nuts. It was great. Like, watching the game with Tommy, like, in those scenarios, when the officiating, clearly it looked like it was one-sided. It did from the outside. But, oh, my gosh, he was going nuts. It was. So when he's on air and he's, like, laying into the officials, that's 100% authentic. Now, once in a while, like, I'll take a shot at an official for a call. But in general, I try to keep it, like, more neutral. Now, like, this is authentically who Tommy is. Like, he was just like, what kind of call? Three in the key. Come on, how is that a foul? It was great.
He said, you know, Mike Gorman said that he'll, like, try to box Mike out, like, during games. Like, he's, like, when you sit next to him, he feels like he's still in the heat of battle, and he acts like it sometimes.
Yeah, I think there's moments in which he does revert back to being a coach, where he's, like goes in, and he gives Brad Stevens a ton of credit, because, you know, you look on the sideline, even when Brad got the tech, he kept it, like, he's like, hey, man, I got a tech, it is what it is. I think
What did Stevens do to get the technical? Obviously, it was on purpose. But
I think he was trying to take the attention away from Jaylen Brown, because, you know, Jaylen just got one, because you guys saw that phantom call as well. Like, he got his fifth foul, and he didn't touch the guy. So he saw Jaylen chirping. And sometimes that's a coach's responsibility, is to, you know, like, divert the attention back to them versus, like, the player, especially in those situations. But they didn't go back and say what he said, and then they asked him afterwards. He's like, I got a tech, I'm not going to comment on it. So I don't know what he did, but I'm pretty certain that he got it on purpose.
Okay, not to look ahead, but let's look ahead. Let's say the Celtics move on. You've got the Cavaliers, who just swept last night. What kind of chance do you think the Celtics have against LeBron?
Yeah, so it's like, this is really interesting. I got this series wrong, the Philadelphia series wrong, but because of the offense, I didn't know we were going to score enough points. And at this point, our defense has been unbelievable. I knew we were going to be able to defend the Sixers, because we defend that action. You think about us against the Warriors. Like, we just defend guys coming off screens. We get body-to-body on shooters. I mean, that's just who we are. But here's where we do struggle. If you go back to the Milwaukee series, and Giannis basically going one-on-one at the top of the key and getting to the basket at will, right? We struggle with that action. Well, LeBron has, the Cavs have a mix of both. LeBron has his fair share of isolations where if you don't help on him, he's going to score at the basket. He's really patient when he gets down there. He uses his body. He gets foul calls. So that bothers me. And then on the other end is these guys, if you do help, these guys will make you pay, you know, shooting the basketball, Kyle Korver, Kevin J.R. Smith. So once again, I'm going to continue, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I think the Cavs are going to take care of business. But every time I count this team out, they figure out a different way to, you know, surprise me. I don't think it's going to be like it was last year with some of those, like, 40 points in the first half. But I do think ultimately it's going to be hard to stop LeBron, whether it's putting two on him, him finding guys, or letting him go one-on-one.
Is Brad Stevens the best coach in the NBA? We were talking about this yesterday. Right now, is he the best coach in the NBA?
So when people tout Brad Stevens, can you, like, help me out with this one, right? Because, like, I've already known this for a while, but what – When he makes a sideline out of bounds and they score, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole world goes nuts. But you know, he ran that same play for Marcus Morris and he missed the shot and no one touted the play. Like, you know, like it's interesting what he does. He also ran that play 2 years ago against Washington and no one ever said anything then either.
He did it at Butler. There's like plays. Yeah, there's
videos
of him doing Butler.
Did he coach at LaSalle?
No.
Okay, because he said that he ran it somewhere that wasn't Butler.
Well, but there's a video of him that's been going around of him doing that exact same play at Butler. Yes, he's been doing it for a while, but, I mean, it's more the whole what he's been able to do with the crew that he's been given, you know, the whole doing a lot with less, that I think, in my opinion, makes me think he's the best coach in the NBA.
Okay.
So
I'll go with that. I think it's his greatest strength, but here's and this is no doubt, I've been around some pretty good coaches, good teams, right? I think his greatest strength is to look at every player on your team. So let's say, right, you know, let's use 12 guys, right? 12 guys, whoever's playing. And they all have strengths. Even players that we signed, like a Daniel Theis, right? Like, no one knows who this guy is. And he recognizes that Daniel Theis, he's a great roller to the rim, had great hands. Well, you know what? Marcus Smart is probably our best passing pick and roll player. Well, why don't I just put these two guys in this situation and I'll use these other guys for their strengths. Shane Larkin, big time right hand driver, got a great left to right crossover, like has weaknesses other places, but he's good at that. So all Brad does is create like offensive opportunities for people that are and makes them do what they're good at. Like he doesn't make guys do things that they're not good at. So when you do that over the course of 48 minutes and, you know, 100 possessions, that makes a big difference. Where I think a lot of coaches, they just sort of have a set or a play, and there are some specific things that a coach would do for a player out of a timeout, but never like to create an entire offense built around everyone's strengths, and he knows exactly what buttons to push when guys are out there. Now, in the NBA, the margin for being like good to great is like two possessions a game. A Hall of Famer is better than an all-star by he makes like 1.5 more plays than that guy. And like a guy who's about to be out of the league and to a good player is like another two plays. So he just puts those guys in a better position to make those two plays. And that's, to me, is what makes a great coach. But the result is going to be winning. Like I keep saying, the NBA, it's a fine line between winning and losing. It's pretty small, and everyone thinks it's like, oh, this team dominated and this team is not good. It's like a couple possessions here or there.
So people overvalue the importance of a coach?
People undervalue.
You're saying undervalue. Okay.
I think in the NBA, people think that coaching doesn't matter. I think it does matter.
All right.
I think it matters. Just like I think that, like, I think everything matters. Like I said, everyone's professional. Everyone is good. Like, how small of a margin is the difference between winning and losing? And that's how you get, like, these teams that are no good once in a while beating a team that's good, because it's like a couple plays make the difference.
All right. Well, Brian Scalabrine, thank you so much for the time, sir.
You got it.
And go- Brian Scalabrine!
Oh, God. Now go back and go about your business, all right?
Hope you guys later.
Thank you.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Last night was the Met Gala, apparently. I have no idea. I know what the Met Gala, that a lot of people go. What was the theme of this one?
Dressing like an a-hole?
Indeed it was.
Fantasyland.
I think
we're millionaires, and
we're opening up the world of magic to everybody.
Katy Perry showed up with gigantic wings.
I think it was like a biblical theme.
Well, Jared Leto was dressed like Jesus.
Catholic theme. It was a Catholic theme.
It was a Catholic theme. Okay.
Yes.
I think most people were saying the Lord's name in vain when they saw what people were wearing.
I would like to know what Tom Brady was wearing.
Well, Tom Brady showed up, so he's got this.
What
like,
character was he exactly? what mythical creature from the Bible was he?
He was a sassy fairy.
He just looks like a guy that would show up and just say, "Ladies and gentlemen, please." Open your mind to all disbelief.
Right, right. Now, what's this, a dove? Where'd it come from? Now, excuse me, young lady, come up here. Oh, look, I've taken a boo, but now it's back.
And now, what is that in your ear? It's a quarter.
It's the world's best musician.
He's like grandpa magician.
The grandpa, the magician.
Look at my thumb. It's somehow being removed from my hand. And now it's back.
My next trick will be taking a couple of Werther's originals out of the bowl.
So he's got this suit on, but he has this like gold, I don't even know what you call that.
It's a gold lapel. It's a very large gold lapel that he has
he
on.
He almost looks like one of those like tin soldiers from like Toyland.
Right. Well,
he's got the right part too. Like the hair is like super parted to the right. Too?
Yes. Now, is there a kind of
with a black turtleneck too?
Is there a biblical theme to that?
Maybe he's the devil.
He's Judas.
I'm Judas.
Bill Belichick. He is Judas. He's a snazzy Judas.
The main thing about it is that he's just rocking a turtleneck. And again, this is a guy that for the majority of his life hasn't been the coolest guy in the world. So
does this help?
Allow me to finish my story, if you would. So for a long time, he hasn't been the coolest guy in the world. And this just proves the fact that Giselle can do whatever that she wants to him.
Sure.
And he doesn't know. He's just a goofy nerd walking around letting people dress him up.
Right. He is the Ken doll. She's like playing Barbies, and he's the Ken doll. I'll dress you any way I want you to. And he's like, sure, fine.
You know how much that jacket was?
I don't know how much.
$15. TJ Maxx.
Was it a TJ Maxx special?
Yes, indeed.
How much was it? I don't know, but it included 17 doves.
Allow me to give you these rings. They're not... What? I'm confused. They won't... They seem stuck together. Not so fast, a-hole. Look, now I've got two.
Here's a piece of gum. Oh, it stings, doesn't it? Take one. Oh, you got finger snapped.
Yeah, stick your finger in this. Not so easy to get out of it, is it, jackass?
Hold this dog poo. Oh, it's not real.
it's fake vomit.
Right.
I put the quarter on top in this box. One, two.
It's Cheap Trick Tom Brady.
Where'd the quarter go?
Shake my hand. You felt a vibration.
How's it feel to be fooled, jack off? Brady stands supreme. Win for the B-man.
Is that a fly in your ice cube? Look, those aren't my teeth. They're redneck teeth.
Watch where you step. It seems someone's vomited. Psych. Yeah, he went to the Met Gala, and he turned many heads.
Do you think that if Giselle said, I just want to like throw excrement at you, and you could wear it to the gala, that he would let him do that?
Yes. She said, again, Giselle is one of the few women that Brady's job is cute. If they go to like somewhere, wherever that, like Morocco or wherever the hell they go.
right.
And they go to a party and there's guys that are quote unquote international art dealers that are really like princes of small nations. And they're like, you know, they're always like, oh, is your husband the one that throws ball for fun? You know, the money he makes is of no consequence to him.
Sure, it's pocket change.
Yeah. Well, is he one who runs around on the field getting hit? You know, these guys are people that are international. They're like royalty.
Isn't this almost, it almost seems like, because she's wearing something that seems somewhat normal. Like, there's nothing outrageous about what she's wearing. It's a very nice dress. It's not like Katy Perry with giant wings. So do you think that this is her way of achieving, like, dominance in the relationship? Like, she wears something normal. I'm going to make you wear something ridiculous. Just to show the world that I can do that.
Sure. Absolutely. I think that that outside of football, he completely just does whatever she wants.
Right.
There's no question about it. Because as Zolak, I mean, he was a nerd in high school. He was a nerd at Michigan. He was a nerd a joke when he first came to the Patriots because he was such a nerd. When he first got money, he did a bunch of nerdy stuff with it, like buying like dumb, like the stupid, like cars you'd buy if you were 12, mm-hmm. and were given a ton of money.
Well, at one point, your mascara started running, so he offered her a handkerchief, and it just kept going and going and going. How long is this thing? It has no end. People are saying, did he get that outfit at Shazowie's? John Wall, I guess.
John.
Right.
Rock and roll, Mike, hello.
What's up, guy? Toucher Rich. What's up, Adam Jones? What's going on? Where's Wallace? Where's the party?
It's right here.
Hey, we're going to have a barbecue in an alleyway. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
So tell me about this alleyway barbecue we're invited to.
The barbecue's in the alleyway. You guys gonna come?
Will you be cooking shoes or dead birds?
I don't know. Well, pigeons, Squirrels, that ain't going on.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever ate, Rock and Roll Mike?
Yeah, hey, Vinnie Vincent. Hey, with Gene Simmons, April 14th. Oh, yeah. You got it going on, man.
It's
May 8th. Dude, you rock it out. Hey, touch up. He got it going on. Yeah. Everything's going on. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what's going on.
All right.
This tour is going to be kick ass.
All right. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Vinnie Vincent and Gene Simmons coming to town very shortly.
April 15th.
Josh, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. What if you guys have it all wrong and that was the negotiated outfit? And she really had, like, five other outfits that were 100 times worse than that, and that's the final one he agreed to.
That's a good point.
I think that she screws with him. I really do. Because, you know, they have a team. She has a team. Obviously, she would, because she's been in fashion for so long. That she has a team of, like, fashion people.
Right.
And they'll be like, I have an idea for him. It's just called Rainbow Man. Just be walking around like a rainbow. Or look at this, like the Lucky Charms elf over here, like, and he has magical marshmallow. You know that they there's pictures of places that we haven't seen them.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, all right, this one, he just is a lion. Look at his mane. Right. It's outrageous.
Giselle, sit down. Oh, you didn't see the whoopee cushion I put under there.
Oh, Lord. Tom Brady.
Would you like to smell this flower? Squirt, squirt. Oh, ink in your eye.
Ink? That's just
wow. That's nasty.
I take it to the next level.
Okay.
That's just ink.
All right.
You're poison. You're going to die.
All right. Tom Brady. There you have it. He stole the show at the Met Gala. I don't know what happens once you get inside. I don't know what happens, what you're doing, but they let the hot Kardashian one go in. They let her go in with her boyfriend. And one of the 2 Chainz guy proposed to his girl right there on the steps.
What are the guy from 2 Chainz?
No, I think his name is 2 Chainz.
Oh, yeah, the rapper 2 Chainz.
Yeah, he proposed to his wife right there, his fiance. Now, in fairness, they kind of did it too quick. I don't know if it will last because they only have 3 children together. So I'm not positive if now is the time to propose. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. What's going on, Rich?
So yesterday, you know, the day after the Bruins end up officially being done for the season, Brad Marchand popped on Twitter, and around, I guess about like 10:30 yesterday, he just tweeted an emoji of him kissing, you know, a little kiss emoji, you know, the one with a heart by the lips, and after that, a bunch of people started like tweeting him back, one of those people being the Montreal Canadiens, and the Montreal Canadiens tweeted to him and said, without naming names, just a reminder that licking is frowned upon in the golf course as well. And Brad Marchand tweeted him back, the Montreal Canadiens, and said, funny, throwing shade when you were out of the playoff race, it's October. And Joe Haggerty was one person who tweeted Brad Marchand, and he put a nose emoji back to him. And Brad Marchand tweeted back a pig emoji.
Yeah.
To Joe Haggerty.
So he's saying, great, you're a big fat pig. So Brad Marchand just said to him, you're a big fat pig.
If you don't follow Brad Marchand on Twitter, it's great. Like, he'll go right after people, but that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if he saw Joe Haggerty in one of those ill-fitting minor league baseball jerseys that he wears.
And then...
because they don't make him in the right size.
Somebody tweeted...
So he looks like he's in a Star Wars sausage casing.
He wore the R2-D2 jacket for one of the games last week on TV.
Yep.
It was like a suit. Yeah, well, like a suit jacket. It was a full-on R2-D2 suit.
Yes. I mean, it's like enough. Like, I know you want to get laid. Stop with that.
So a guy named Eric Engels, who is a reporter for the Montreal Canadiens, or is a guy for Rogers Sportsnet, but covers the Canadiens, retweeted Brad Marchand saying, funny, throwing shade when you're out of the playoff race since October, and he retweeted and put right on the nose. And Brad Marchand tweeted him back and said, if you ever get a flat tire, you can just use the one around your neck. So, Brad Marchand is feisty.
Man.
He has been feisty lately.
What does the guy look like from, did you check out what the guy looks like?
Oh, yeah.
Does he have a big neck roll?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's appropriate. Yeah, he does definitely has like a little bit of chunk there.
All right, so he's just saying, I just,
that, there he is. And Marchand's been doing this all season long.
Oh, I just, like, just that he just tweeted a pig emoji.
Yeah. So Marchand tweets out like a kiss emoji, and Haggerty tweets him back a nose emoji, and so Brad Marchand tweets him back a pig emoji.
And then what do you do if you're, what does Haggerty do at that point?
It was a crying laughing emoji.
Well, maybe it was just crying.
I don't know.
Maybe the smile was a little fabricated.
Yeah. It was funny because a while back, like when the Sedins ended up retiring, but congrats on a great career to the Sedins, two of the best playmakers to ever play the game, all the best in retirement, and a bunch of Canucks fans were tweeting him saying, you're being an a-hole, how dare you disrespect them while you're throwing shade. And he said, longer I have people, you're acting like I took something from you. So yes, if you are not following at BMarch63, he really is one of the all time best trollers.
He said a big emoji.
I saw.
What is the time difference between when he got the and when he got the pig?
Great question. All right, let's do that.
Because if he came up with like you're a fat pig that fast and knew there was a pig emoji, he's quick on the draw.
Okay, Haggerty's tweet was, 11:27 was when Joe Haggerty sent his out. Guess when Marchand sent his out?
11:28.
11:28? So you're less than a minute. First guy,
I didn't even look. That was a good guess from Jason. Yeah. But the idea to just go, all right, what is the weakness of Haggerty? He's a big fat pig.
Immediately, and then dealing with this guy in my face all year.
And then so he finds, I don't think he did. Dislikes Haggerty.
No, of course
I think he likes busting his balls.
Yeah, he's busting his balls. And if you bust someone's balls, generally, it's because you like them. People you hate, you just want to get away from. But the idea that he saw it, the nose, and immediately went, oh, where's the pig emoji?
It took him the 1 minute to find it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, because he immediately went, you're a fat pig.
No, but he knew. He had to look. Was him searching his phone.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. Is that he went, oh, Haggerty's a big fat pig. And then he went for a pig emoji.
He would have answered quicker the same minute if given the chance, yes. I guess is my point.
All right. Well, congratulations to Brad Marchand. You know the guy from, and listen, if you want to make Brad Marchand, do it all you want. But you know the guy from Toronto was just like, oh, I got a joke.
Yeah. And then you just put it
on the nose.
That flat tire on your neck.
Sometimes it's the best way to go. If someone's trying to be clever and they kind of whiff on it, then you just go, hey, what's up, fatso? You're fat and ugly. Lord knows people feel comfortable telling me that all the time. Boy, when Haggerty comes in here with one of them damn minor league Star Wars shirts on. Woo-wee.
That whole suit thing was next level, though. I mean, one thing to get baseball uniforms, and it's another thing to show up to work on May the 4th in a Star Wars suit.
Well, obviously, there is a woman who caught his eye. No commercials here, just the headlines, and we're going to talk to Billy Jaffe.